This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
I'm not going to try and say anything clever. This FPL season's madder than ever. Welcome to Triple Captain.
Short but sweet, mate. Short but sweet.
Yeah, it's early morning, mate. The game week's just finished. I was like, I'm just gonna say something short and sweet. I mean, it's been another mad game week, hasn't it? How did you get on? We're Triple Captain, by the way. Hello. Yes, hello. I'm Luke Jurdy. We're at Triple Captain 3 on socials. Hello, everybody.
We're feeling the stress, aren't we? I'm Ben, I'm the producer of the podcast. Usually this would be Rich speaking now, but Rich can't join us today. But yeah, we feel a bit rushed because these game weeks, one ends, another one starts immediately. Yeah. But yeah, I have to say, this one wasn't too bad for me at all. Game week 20, 48 points. Average was 42. So I've climbed a bit. I'm still not telling you my rank until it's a bit better.
Are you about 2 million now? Something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. You know, I think the aim's got to be at least top 500k, hasn't it, by the end of the season?
What I'm trying to prove is that it is a season of two halves, and that it's very possible to have an absolutely dreadful first half of your season and still turn it around. Because actually, it's the first time in ages I've been happy with my team. I mean, I got triple Man City, so Diaz and Stones both coming in with 6. Gundogan, 14. Unbelievable. Seriously considering putting the captain's armband on him this week. I'm not sure if I will or not. But, you know, it's the premiums he disappointed this week. Son, 2. Kane, 1. Obviously, we're going to talk about him because he came off with an ankle injury. Salah, 2. Fernandez, who I captained, and 2.5 million people captained, 2 points. But, yeah, slightly disappointed from the premiums, but good from, you know, Antonio. Was it a goal or an assist from Antonio? He nearly scored twice, didn't he, in the first half? But an assist from Antonio, a goal from Ollie Watkins. It was the bargain basement players that delivered and the premiums who really disappointed this week. How about you?
Yeah, that was basically the difference between a good and a bad week for me. I benched Suchek and he came back to bite me again. And really, I should have... It was interesting. I saw, once I'd already benched him in the game week had started, I saw Tom, friend of the podcast from Who Got the Assist, had posted an Instagram about Crystal Palace conceding a lot of headed chances.
Right.
And if I'd have looked properly and seen that, I'd have maybe gone, oh no, maybe I should play Suchek, because he's, and of course he scored 2 headers, and then Dawson scored the third, and that was a header as well. So Tom got that absolutely spot on. But I just made a few wrong decisions. I didn't bring Gundogan in. I brought Diaz in instead for that double City defence. And I decided to keep Suchek and Grealish. Obviously Grealish got his goal, so I'm not going to complain about that. He got 8 points. But yeah, Suchek stuck on my bench. I went for the double West Ham defence because I looked at the defensive stats and Crystal Palace were amongst the worst in the league for attacking and West Ham were amongst the best in the league for defending. So I thought, great, clean sheet time. And Soufal and Fabianski obviously conceded 2 goals, so they only got a point each. So again, just those wrong decisions. And I also benched Chris Wood and he scored. I mean, what kind of a game was that? That was such a kind of freak result, again, to go with the madness of the season. And I was saying to you, wasn't I, this is the kind of problem with playing bench boost, is that afterwards you're left with a team of, you've got 15 players that could potentially start. So each week you're benching somebody that is probably going to score a few points. So each week you're going to be a little bit disappointed that you didn't play them.
Well, you're in good company benching Suchek. 422,284 of the managers benched Thomas Suchek this week. Transferred out by 213,000 people.
Yeah, and I get that. And I think, to be honest, if I had, because I only had one free transfer, I think if I had the money to go Suchek straight to Gundogan, I would have done it. And then Suchek ended up outscoring him by a point in the end, because Gundogan came off early. So again, it's one of them where it's like, all right, I haven't got Cancelo, I haven't got Saka who got 13, I haven't got Gundogan who got 14, and I benched Suchek who got 15. They're all players that are on the fringes. So that was the difference between a good and a bad game week. And of course, you know, Salah had a goal disallowed last night for VAR. If that had gone in, if Liverpool had kept a clean sheet, for instance, Højbjerg scored a brilliant goal. If that hadn't gone in, you know, then suddenly I'm on an extra 16 points from Salah and Robertson, perhaps. So it was just one of those fine margins. So I've gone down like 20,000 places, which I'm actually not too bothered about. So I'm like 63K, something like that now.
Fantastic. Firmly in that top 100K.
Yeah, I'm still all right with that. I mean, it's a bit annoying kind of going from a great bench boost up to 40K back down again straight away. But like I say, I I couldn't really have done much more. Apart from the Souček decision, there's nothing else where I'm like, oh my God, I should have done that and I should have done that. Even with Gundogan, it's like, well, if I'd have played Souček, he would have scored the same amount. And I didn't fancy taking Grealish out. And Grealish looks great. And on another day, Grealish would have got the same amount of points as Gundogan. So
yeah, let's not talk about that game. Just really disappointing as a Villa fan.
Yeah, and I mean, gosh, yeah, United as well. Really worrying performance from them. Hopefully they can bounce back. Should we just dive straight into a few talking points then?
Yeah, so we're talking today, Mo Salah or no Salah, after 6 weeks of blanks now.
A little bit about
Harry Kane, because obviously he came off injured against... Who did they play? That's not, of course, Liverpool. It's too early for this, Luke. It's too early today. But then also the bargain basements we're going to talk about, aren't we? Like, there's some amazing, amazing points hauls from players that are less than, well, six and a half, even 6 million in some cases, isn't it?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Also, perhaps just quickly cover Triple City, but which three?
Yeah, cool.
Because that's a dilemma that I'm having myself. So, great.
Using the podcast for personal gain. That's why we do this.
I think I need it this week. So, let's do Mo Salah or no Salah, right? So six weeks of blanks. I can't believe it. Obviously, with my points system that I do, I end up working out how many points a player should have scored at this point. And since bringing Salah in, he's about 30 points behind where he normally would be over the last three seasons or so of data. So that's quite a lot, isn't it? So it's one of them where I look at the kind of little table that I have, and I see Robertson, who's about 20 points off where he should be, but that's for the whole season. And Salah's about 30 points off where he should be. I think, is it finally time? Every week I toy with getting Robertson out. Let's focus on Salah. What are you going to do with him?
So I bought in Salah 6 weeks ago. You know, he'd just come off a 16 points in that 7-0 against Crystal Palace. He'd scored two goals in that game. There was also a bit in the press, like, it seems to have calmed down a little bit, but there were a few rumours that he wasn't particularly happy at Liverpool anymore. And you read those and you've got to kind of... There's so many rumours in the press. I mean, like, for example, Jack Grealish yesterday tweeted, well, that's a lie, reposting an article. I think it was from the Daily Mirror where it was like, oh, Grealish has a row with his manager after the Burnley result. He's like, well, that's a lie. Why would I have a row with him? He was just telling me to calm down because I was annoyed. And you kind of... You do have to take these things with a pinch of salt. At the same time, it does kind of feel that way. And you can see that Salah's... It's not just, okay, last night VAR ruled it out. That's unlucky. At the same time, 6 weeks of blanks, that's a pattern, isn't it then? And bearing in mind he's the most expensive midfielder, you dedicate so much of your funds, over 10% of your funds on one player with Mo Salah. Is it at the moment 12.6? 12.5 at the moment. That's so much. And it's just with the fixtures they've got coming up. You know, West Ham, that's going to be a tough game for them now. They've got Brighton at home, it should be easy. Then they've got Man City, Leicester, Everton. Their games don't really turn until game week 26, where they've got Sheffield, Fulham, Wolves, Chelsea. You know, actually, their fixtures aren't great either, you know, just in general. I don't know. What are you going to do? Because you've always backed him.
Yeah, and I think I'm going to keep him, but purely for the reason that I've got other issues to sort out in my team. And I think as De Bruyne is injured, there's not an easy switch. I haven't got De Bruyne. I didn't have De Bruyne before he got injured either. If he was firing and available, yeah, pretty much a no-brainer. You'd think over the next 5-6 weeks, he's probably going to outscore Mo Salah. But who'd you bring in for him? I mean, maybe Sterling, but we've been burned by Sterling before. Salah's still more of a captain option, I think, than Sterling. And also, if you add back in that VAR disallowed goal, he scored three goals in his last two games. He got two against United,
yeah,
and then he got one against Spurs. So there is the flip side of that. But I think the problem is we've got such a recency bias, haven't we? In everything in life, and we always remember moments where we've taken a player out of our team,
of
and then they've gone and banged, and that has happened with Salah so many times over the last three seasons. He has had times where he's blanked consistently for a good amount of time, and then he's fired again with a hat trick or something. And he is one of those players that is capable of scoring a hat trick. So my question, I suppose, is who do you bring in for him? If you've already got Son and you've already got Fernandes, do you downgrade him and then spread the money elsewhere? But then I think spreading the money elsewhere, you're still going to end up with money in the bank, because there's no players at that price bracket at the moment who you think, oh, I'm going to bring them in because they're firing. Maybe Sterling.
Yeah, I hate saying this because it is just like, how many times do we have this conversation? Do you pick Salah or do you pick Mane? Like, how many times have we done that now? But just looking purely from a stats perspective, he got 15 points this game week. He's 11.8 versus Salah's 12.5. And the ownership, 37.6 on Salah, which has dropped quite a lot. But Mane, 7.4. I hate this conversation. I hate it because it's just such a... It's an FPL cliche, isn't it? Salah or Mane, who'd you pick? But yeah. that is, I suppose, the only option. If you're gonna spend big on a... Sterling, as you say, he got 11 points this week, 97 points overall. But he can always just go cold against Sterling, can't he? But then that's what Salah's done.
And the thing with, I suppose the thing with Sterling is he's another player as well that is capable of scoring a hat trick. So he can explode at any point as well. But let me do a quick, I'm just going to do a quick comparison of Salah and Mane over the last kind of four games, because that always makes me feel a bit like more confident in one or the other. This is on Fantasy Football Scout, by the way. It's really useful. Wow. Yeah, Mane is absolutely dominating him.
Not even just a little bit.
Not even just a little bit. He's started one more game over the last four. So that obviously skews things a little bit. But yeah. He's got a much higher XG. He's got a higher XA. He's had more touches in the final third. He's had... More goal involvement, more penalty area touches, more shots in the box. But this is with a game more. But Salah's had 8 shots in the last 4 games. So that's 2 per game, which isn't like Salah. Mane's had, that's in 3 matches. So that's, you know, 2 point something. Mane's had 15 shots in his last 4 games. Mm. So that's quite high. Nearly 4 a game. He's had 14 shots in the box in the last 4 games. Yeah, Mane is doing it. Of course, this is with having played a game more than Salah. Mm. But yeah, over the key stats, he's beating him almost on every metric. And you'd expect, unless Salah went and scored a hat-trick in his next game, Mane would still be out on top there. So that, I mean, looking at that, that doesn't make me want to bring Mane in.
I mean, it's one of those things where... Obviously, it's a long season and we've still got, 18 game weeks left to play? So that's, you know, just less than half of the games to play. So we've always said that players like Mo Salah, you know, class is permanent, isn't it? It's that they always, top performing player in FPL for how many years and everything else. At the same time, that's surely, especially when you're kind of looking at those mini leagues, and 10-point swings here and there can be huge in a mini league. I think I'm going to give Salah 2 more games. I'm going to see how he performs against West Ham away, because a West Ham team who are performing well. And then also, let's see what they do against Brighton at Anfield. After that, 2 more game weeks. Then they've got Man City and Leicester and Everton. I think, 2 more weeks for me. But it's so hard to take him out. At the same time, you've got to be brave in FPL sometimes.
Yeah, you have. And it would be the kind of move that, yes, you'd make if you're trying to make up ground on people, or you're close to a rival in your mini league and he's got Salah, and you know, you could make that sideways move if you were purely focused on that rather than maybe overall rank. But yeah, I'm the same. I think if my team was absolutely fantastic and I didn't know what I was going to do this game week, I'd maybe think about a switch to Mane, but I've been, you know, there's lots of people that have been burned before. I'd never do a sideways move to Mane. If I was getting rid of Salah, I'd probably go to Sterling and maybe be first choice.
Should we talk about Man City? Because
yes.
We all think that Man City triple at the moment is a decent option. Bearing in mind, I'm the guy who said right at the beginning of the season, I'm not having any Man City players because the rotation's too much. And now I have actually got three. I've got John Stones, I've got Diaz, and I've got Gundogan. But yeah, the Man City triple, who are you thinking?
Well, the dilemma for me is either going to be a triple up in defence with Diaz, Stones and Cancelo, which I think is a really, really exciting option, especially for the next couple of game weeks. And obviously, if you've got a bench of, say I took out Robertson and put Cancelo in, then I've got Diaz, Stones, Cancelo as the first choice three. And then I've got Justin and Soufal to come on if Cancelo gets benched. So that's not too bad. But then I suppose when their fixtures turn a little bit, they've got to play Liverpool. Are they going to keep a clean sheet against Liverpool? Is that going to be a game week where it's like, well, the triple up's really failed? Because just that one goal, isn't it? And, you know, a freak thing can happen, like against West Brom, where Ajayi scored that deflected goal against them. And it's like, suddenly, your three defenders have all got 2 points. But then I suppose they have got that attacking threat as well. So that's an option. And then obviously, yeah, I've already got Diaz and Stones. I brought in Diaz this week for Chilwell. Which seemed like a bit of a no-brainer, really. And the other option would be Salah to Sterling and having Sterling, Diaz and Stones. Don't think I'm going to do that. And then, of course, the only other option for City right now is Gundogan. And I can either take a -4 and get him in for Souček, or I can get him straight in for Grealish. I don't think moving Grealish to him is going to make... I know Gundogan got 14 points this week, but Grealish and Gundogan can match each other at least over the next few weeks. I suppose, really, you're saving money by taking out Grealish, but I don't really want to do it. He's still performing well.
Yeah.
And obviously, Souček's just scored 2 goals. So I think, do I really want to take Souček out for Gundogan when Souček's playing just as well?
I think the question is, how long is Gundogan not necessarily going to be in form because he's having the form of his life, but how long is, you know, when Kevin De Bruyne comes back, will Gundogan still be so prominent in that team? I think I think you've got a few weeks on Gundogan. You know, you have that in every season where you, like, do you remember when you brought in Antonio back into last season and he went on and scored 4 goals and, you know, he had a really nice little run, didn't he? But then you have, like, Tammy Abraham had a great little run last season, then it just went cold again. I think this is one of those things where it's good to jump on Gundogan now, but be aware that he will become that fifth midfielder at some point in your team.
Yeah, and I think the caveat of that is always that he's so cheap, so it doesn't really matter if he blanks that much. Do you know what I mean? If he scores, it's a big bonus because he's so cheap. And I liked what the general was saying. Really, he was saying Gundogan, you should treat him as effectively a 10 million midfielder at the moment because of the way he's playing. And his stats as well are out of this world. I mean, I had a little look before this game week. And obviously, eventually, I decided to bring Diaz in instead of Gundogan. But the amount of shots he's having and getting in the box and you can see it. You can see how much of a threat he is. So,
oh god, yeah. You know, I'm seriously considering the captain's armband on him this week against Sheffield United.
Yeah, I think it's probably more of a risk for me going triple City defence and getting rid of Andy Robertson than it is of getting Gundogan in. Either for Souček or Grealish.
You know, I'm not the only one thinking about this, you know. FPLJ replied to us on Twitter, I've already put the captaincy on Gundogan. Other options for me were Bruno, Son and Kane. Isn't that amazing? Three massive premiums ago, you know, Gundogan. Faddy Emil said, if all premiums blank this weekend, which pretty much they did, I will captain Stones and vice-captain Diaz.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout. They've got Sheffield United and, you know, if Sheffield United score against City... That will be an even bigger shock than Sheffield United beating Man United, I think. Man United's defending was woeful and City just look in control of every single game. So I think the City defensive triple up is viable, and I also think, yeah, a captain in a City defender is viable, yeah. Because, you know, you're going to get a minimum of 12 points, most likely.
Yeah. But don't forget, you know, the next 2 weeks, that's great to do in terms of fixtures. Sheffield United and Burnley. But then... from the 7th of February, Man City play Liverpool at Anfield. Then they go back to the Etihad, and it's Spurs the following week. Then Arsenal, then West Ham, then Man United. That suddenly becomes a run of five tricky games, really, in terms of the way West Ham are playing. Arsenal seems to be turning it back on a little bit. So,
but at the same time, in those five games, if somebody said to you, look, you've got, here's 100 quid, what are you going to back? You have to back something each game. You have to back either City to keep a clean sheet or City to concede. I'd back them every time to keep a clean sheet,
yeah,
even against Liverpool.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you know, probably three out of those five games, you're going to get clean sheets. So that's 18 points from three defenders if you've got them all in. And then you've got that chance of attacking returns as well. I don't know. It's a really, really, it's a difficult decision. And I suppose that the safer option is two defenders and Gundogan. The more risky option is triple City defence.
Hi, we're Sound Rebel and we produce this podcast.
We make loads of entertainment shows like this one, but we also make informative and educational podcasts for businesses. We can help with the whole production process from idea development through to podcast distribution to all the major podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Google Podcasts.
Email hello@soundrebel.co.uk now and we'll get back to you as soon as we can.
Right, back to the episode.
Cool. Do you want to talk Harry Kane very briefly?
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah.
Obviously, a lot of money on Harry Kane. Ankle injury came off against Liverpool. He's got 25% chance of playing on the FPL app at the moment. I think he'll start on Sunday. I think it's one of those things. I don't know why, but I've just got a feeling. And you know what? FPL Twitter's been saying the same thing. I've seen a few tweets saying they think Kane will probably start again.
He actually said anything on the injury yet or not?
Not that I've seen.
Kane injury. Tottenham striker set to miss a few weeks after hurting both ankles. But that's the Evening Standard. Football London's reporting that as well. Out for a few weeks.
Right, okay.
Mourinho confirms Harry Kane injury blow.
There's just been a couple of times this season where injuries have... Well, let's just say that managers have let everyone think that a player's injury is maybe worse than it is for tactical benefit. There's definitely some of that that's gone on, isn't there?
Yeah, I think it would be silly unless we get confirmation that he's definitely out.
Yeah.
I think this week, this week play him. If he doesn't start, you're going to get your sub on, aren't you? He's not going to come on off the bench. So I think play him and just have your first bench option as decent. Make sure that if they're okay, rather than taking him out. I don't think you should, because like you say, what if he plays and he's fine and you've taken him out and then you want to get him back in?
Yeah, and just, you know, I really want Harry Kane against Brighton, Chelsea, West Brom for the next three games. I feel like they're all really good games for him. You know, Chelsea with a new manager. What did you think of Chelsea, by the way, in terms of the performance? And obviously the team changes to Chelsea, just very quickly.
Yeah, well, I watched the Villa game, so I didn't actually see much of the Chelsea game, but I heard it was a bit of a damp squib and that that Havertz maybe an option. He played 90 minutes, but apparently Tuchel is a bit like Pep Guardiola in his rotation.
Right.
So
it's not that Mason Mount was just Frank Lampard's favourite and...
Well, it could be. Who knows? It's going to be interesting, isn't it?
See him on the bench. That was the one. Because Bellingham, I think he started every single Chelsea game.
No interest for me at the moment, any of them. Possibly a defender if they tighten things up again. But you just got to wait and see, I think, with Chelsea. And there's lots of other options, isn't there?
Do you want to talk bargains?
Bargain basement, yeah. So the madness of this week, right? We've got suddenly... Do you remember at the start of the season when we were like, there's nothing in the five and a half million category. There's either San Maximan or Stuart Armstrong. They're the only options, really. Suddenly, we've got... I mean, Gundogan's 5.7 now, but let's count him in there. Anybody under 6 million, let's count in. So we've got Gundogan. We've got Saka, who got another big points haul, 13 points. We've got Rafinha, who's 5.4 million. He got a big haul again and he looked great. Much more attacking than Bamford, by the way, who looks toothless at the moment.
Thank God I took him out. I swapped him for Antonio this week.
Yeah, I think that's a good move. We've got Suchek as well. That's four midfielders under 5 million all doing the business. Under 6 million, sorry. Saka, Gundogan, Suchek, Rafinha. I think even Stuart Armstrong scored this week as well, didn't he? Did he score against Arsenal? Armstrong? I think he opened the scoring. He's not really an option, but just another player that scored. And then you've also got players like Ross Barkley back in the team. Isn't perhaps firing, but you know he's an option. You've got Traore as well at Villa, who's under 6 million, kind of flown under the radar a little bit because he blanked this week. Suddenly there's so many options. Can we pack our team just with 5 basement midfielders?
Well, yeah, and you know there's a couple that we haven't spoken. Smith Rowe for Arsenal keeps starting. Yeah.
£4.5 million.
Yeah. Arsenal, of course, have just brought in Martin Odegaard on loan at £6 million. That's interesting.
Is he 6? Right, okay.
$6 million.
That's interesting, yeah.
I mean, you know, great player. I wonder if would he go straight into that team? I don't know. I think that's definitely one to watch because £6 million for a player like him could be great.
Worth keeping an eye on, yeah. So who's your top picks? Like, obviously, we've spoken about Gundogan. I think he's top of our list, isn't he, at the moment in terms of those bargain midfielders in the best team in the league, firing on all cylinders. He has to be there. Who would you have alongside him? Would you have Suchek, Saka or Rafinha?
I don't want to... Leeds, I think, for me, are having a bad little spell and I don't like them as a team. So that's where emotion does get in the way of FPL. I just think back to like how they played last season against Villa. I'm just like, dirty Leeds. But I mean, I think Saka's an interesting one. And I had Saka in my team at the back end of last year when he first started to kind of make some appearances.
Yeah, I put him in. I put him in like for a week or two as my fifth midfielder. And he was awful. He scored that own goal. Do you remember?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and then took him out. But yeah, now he's firing.
Well, he's now 5.4 million. He's 11.5% selected. I mean, if I'm looking... So from game week 15, this is. So when they beat Chelsea 3-1, he's got 13 points, 6 points, 8 points, 3 points, 9 points and 13 points. Now, a little bit all over the place, but there's some big hauls in there. I mean, against Southampton, an assist and a goal. Against Newcastle, a goal and a clean sheet. Against West Brom... goal, like he's scoring. He's assist against Brighton, against Chelsea, goal and assist. I think it's got to be him, hasn't it?
Yeah, he's certainly an option, and I think it's really difficult to choose between any of them. I think Gundogan would be my first choice, and then Suchek would probably be my second choice, purely because he has Suchek's got that in him to get the big hauls. It's not just like a goal here and there or an assist here and there. If he scores, he's capable of a second. And I really like that from a player of that price. Same with Gundogan. And then Saka and Rafinha, I think, much of a muchness. I like the way Rafinha plays, and he seems to always be a threat, and he's a little bit greedy as well, which is good for FPL. He always wants to score. So I think that he might just edge Saka for me, but I think Gundogan and Suchek are the top options.
Yeah, I think fixture-wise they are as well. Arsenal have got a tricky run now.
Right, yes, fixture-wise, yeah. And I think Leeds have got tricky fixtures as well. But this is the thing that's, with my team, is that I look at the players and I think, yeah, there's players that I want to bring in, but there's no player that's got like that consistent form. You know, who's done it week in, week out for a long time, that you think, well, I've got to get him back in. You know, apart from I haven't got Harry Kane, but obviously he's injured now, and I haven't got De Bruyne and he's injured now, so I've got lucky there, really, not owning either of them. So it almost feels like I'm going to take someone out who's then going to bang. Like, if I take Grealish out, he's got it in him for double digits, but then he's not got as much of a goal threat as some of the others. I can't take Suchek out now, because that would just be silly after his performance. So it's then like, well, what do I do? Maybe I just do nothing this week and roll the transfer.
You know what? That's what I've decided. That's how I'm going to play my second half of the season. I took a lot of hits in the first half of the season. It didn't work out for me. I'm now always rolling the transfer when I can and always playing 2-3 transfers and never taking a hit again for the rest of the season, unless there is an incredibly good reason to do it. But yeah, I'm thinking of doing exactly the same role in the transfer this week. I mean, looking at my team, like, you got to think Man City against Sheffield United is going to be a clean sheet. Wolves, I think, I've put Patricio in goal this week, so I'm hoping for a Wolves clean sheet against Crystal Palace. I think Southampton, Martinez is my other keeper, and I think that Southampton have probably, I don't know, I can see a goal against Villa there. I don't know, I've got Matty Cash in the back as well, though. But yeah, Son and Kane against Brighton if Kane plays. Salah against West Ham. Fernandes against Arsenal. This captain's armband is on Gundogan at the moment.
Is it?
I think I'm going to do it.
I think I'm going to go Son against Brighton. I think especially if Kane's out, Son will have to step up. He'll play up front. He'll play up front, won't he? And hopefully Spurs get it together and score a few goals. They're obviously going to miss Kane, but I still think Son's a good captain option. You know, he's still way up there with, you know, he's having a brilliant season and he hasn't scored for a few games, I don't think. So he's due a goal as well. You know, and he'll need to step up. So I think I'm going to go Son. And transfer wise, I'm just not sure. I've got lots of options, and firmly on the watch list Cancelo and Gundogan and Antonio, because I've still got three strikers, and I probably want to get rid of Chris Wood or Bamford. I'm going to keep Watkins because he's playing well, so I could move Wood or Bamford down to a 4.5 and then upgrade elsewhere. I'm still too nervous to take out Salah, Fernandes or Son. I think I've got to keep them, but that's the dilemma. What? So you're captaining Gundogan and rolling the transfer.
Well, now you said Son. That kind of, it feels more sensible.
It does. With form, you never know. I mean,
and he had a bit of a rest as well. He went off, didn't he? About 55 minutes.
Yeah. And
or was it maybe even before that?
The way City are playing as well. I mean, God, they could destroy Sheffield United. You'd imagine that.
Yeah, they could.
I'd imagine they won't score five like they did against West Brom, because Sheffield United very rarely concede more than one or two goals, and they do set up with a low block and they do defend well. I know they're bottom of the league, but they don't get thrashed. And we saw, I mean, United were awful, and I think it was more down to United's performance than Sheffield United's defending, but Jagielka was man of the match, you know. They have got it in them to shackle teams a bit, but having said that, you know, you'd still expect City to get to, you know, win 2 or 3-0, wouldn't you?
At least.
So yeah, there's the dilemma. We've not really helped, but
let us know what you think at @triplecaptain3 on Instagram and Twitter, because it would be very good to get your thoughts this week. And of course, we will be sharing some thoughts from Rich Wolfenden as well on our Twitter page. He can't be with us this week, but he's having a decent season, is Rich. He's had a few dodgy weeks though, hasn't he? Rich.
Yeah, he's still kind of outside top 500k at the moment, isn't he? So he needs to get back on track, but I'm sure he will.
But yeah, get in touch with us at @triplecaptain3, and also thank you to anyone who's left us a review on Apple Podcasts. That's very helpful when you do that for us. It just makes Apple take us seriously and makes us more discoverable in your podcast app, so thank you so much.
Oh, just quickly as well, keep an eye on Luca Dean and Calvert-Lewin for the next few weeks. Luca Dean played left midfield for Everton.
Ooh.
Against Leicester, and Everton have got a few good fixtures now. Two possible differentials there for you that not many people are talking about.
Love it, mate. Good luck.
Good luck.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Discover more shows on the Sound Rebel Network.
Like Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton.
Hello and welcome to Give Me Some Good News, the podcast that brings a bit of positivity and optimism to your life while the mainstream media is full of doom and gloom.
He's stand-up comedian Nathan Caton, and I'm radio presenter Rich Wolfenden. And every week we ask a comedian to come on the podcast and give us some good news, whether it's something that they've spotted that's made them smile or a bit of good news from their own lives.
So far we've had some amazing comedians on the podcast, like Jason Manford, Russell Kane, Joe Caulfield, Dane Baptiste, Joe Lycett, Richard Herring, Jade Adams and Ed Gamble. And we've got loads more great guests lined up, which in itself is good news because it looks like we might be in this mess for a while longer yet.
So if you've had enough of bad news every time you turn on the TV, then give our podcast a go. We release a brand new episode every Monday morning.
Search for Give Me Some Good News now, hit subscribe, and forget about the doom and gloom for 20 minutes. And don't forget, although it might not always feel like it, there's still some good news out there.
Give Me Some Good News with Nathan Caton. Listen now on your chosen podcast app.